This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West Stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by
FSWIM.com,
AVSFAM.com.
The Colorado Avalanche took on the Minnesota Wild, but not before the real event of the night was over. The reason that everybody was really there, that would be to honor Milan Hayduk and retire his number 23 forever in the Pepsi Center. Nobody in my mind deserved this more than Milan Hayduk. He was the heart and soul of this team. He spent his entire career here, and he is a class act at the level of a Joe Sakic. And he was the usual class act tonight. Like many of the fans, though, he found it to be a little bit dusty in the Pepsi Center tonight. I have waited, I have lobbied, I have bitched and moaned about this not happening sooner, so the fact that it finally happened feels right. It feels like the hockey universe is back in the right orbit, and that the Avs did the right and honorable thing by Milan Hayduk. Respect to Milan Hayduk. In addition to the Feels Fest and the Milan Hayduk honoring, there was in fact a hockey game tonight, and we're going to talk about it, but we're going to be bouncing around a little bit, so when you hear this sound, that means we've moved on. Try to keep up. Every now and then you have these moments in a season that are like mile markers on the road. They tell you where you are, how far you have to go, and in some cases if you're going to make it there at all. Tonight, the Avs players from the bench watched the Stanley Cup be walked right in front of their eyes by two legendary players here in Colorado in Peter Forsberg and Alex Tanguay. Don't think for a second that that didn't inspire them to find their own greatness, their own mojo, and go out onto the ice tonight ready to play some damn hockey. The Avs came out strong, they looked good, and it looked like they'd done their homework for the Wild too. Everyone knows that the Wild like to slow the game with a neutral zone pressure, counterattack with long passes, and try to be aggressive about another team's breakout. But in this case, the Avs used the play that is similar to the drop pass play that you see on the power play, where they pushed him back a little bit, drop that puck back to somebody with speed, but then they're making a long pass right up the middle, which is fabulous, fantastic, and I love to see them doing it. The Avs also came out playing a physical brand of hockey. They're finishing their checks and making sure that they hit the Wild every chance that they get. I love that. Kudos to the Avs and to the coaches for doing their homework and transferring that to the ice. So get this, the first goal of the night goes to Gabriel Bork. Pause for effect. Yes, Gabriel Bork, that guy. It wasn't some fluke of a goal either. He absolutely smoked Dubnyk top shelf, and it smelled like quality cheese because it was a quality goal and it got the game started. So unexpected, so damn awesome. I'll be honest with you, I was worried that the Avs came out so hot and after the ceremony that they were just going to throw a flop or they were going to get a goal against and it was going to kill all the momentum, but no. Gabriel Bork, of all people, shows up and gets us going, and that wasn't it. Now, after the depth players showed up in the first period and got that first goal for us, they're really setting the stage for the star players to start doing their thing, and luckily that's what happened. The best player on the team did the next best thing to scoring a goal, which is he set up a guy who doesn't usually score goals in Nemeth, and he scored a goal and jumped about 2 feet in the air. This is fantastic, people. This means that we have two players who don't usually score have already scored goals. I think that the Avs are definitely going to be inspired by this and keep going, but getting that first goal, and especially that second goal, is a huge deal. But being the Minnesota Wild and our true rivalry and the absolute villains that they are, they came back and they scored with about 1 minute left in the period. You know what? I'm not even worried about it, but I will say this. I think it's a nice little warning shot to the Avs that while you're stoked, still play your game. Don't push too hard because these guys love to counterattack and they will counterattack. Everybody thinks that the lessons that you learn to become a team that can actually compete for the cup happen in games where you lose and it's, you know, I'm pissed off in the locker room and stuff like that. But these are lessons right here as well. When you're still doing well, but then you find that, whoa, hold on guys, we can't just push, push, push. Sometimes we gotta have a little poise too. And with that, the first period came to an end and it was like an exclamation point on the ceremonies for Milan Hayduk. Really cool stuff. And if you're an Avs fan, this is a really awesome day. But there's three periods of hockey in a game and there's two more to go, so here's what happened in the second. The second period took more of the usual start that we see to a hockey game. A little slower, a little less intense, with a little bit of this legit feeling that any team could actually win this thing at this point, even though the Avs are up 2-1. The Avs seemed to be dealing with a little bit of a letdown after that first and after the festivities that started the thing and the Twitter swarms began. Adrian Dater says 4 straight icings by Avs, ridiculous. Kevin of the Burgundy Brigade at BRG Brigade Kevin says, stop icing the puck. At Man of Tomorrow 01 says, flat second period. Avs Germany says, I want the Avs from the first period back. Let's be honest, all legit points, the Avs were a little bit flat in this case. And note, Dubnyk is still a douchebag, by the way, never missing a chance to yell at the refs or be in a little bit of a doobie fit. But I digress. So speaking of par for course, AJ Greer will not be left out of a shoving match in any rough stuff on the ice at any time. Yak started pushing and shoving with the guy and AJ Greer nearly jumped out of his skates to get in on it. I love this, but I think that he's got to learn how to keep his demons on a leash. Never tame them, But keep him on a leash and unleash him when he absolutely needs it. Otherwise, just go out there and piss dudes off and let them get mad at you and take the penalty. So how about that goalie, huh? I mean, Riley list we go, but Jonathan Bernier has been great. Not amazing, but he's been great, and I will take that all day long. You can wrap that up, put a bow on it, and give it to me every single game, and I'll be a happy man. He is playing the kind of hockey that we need him to play so long as we're scoring goals. And while I miss Byerly very much, I'm happy to see that we have a guy who can step up and turn on his A game for a little while. I'm still not really clear exactly what the injury is with Byerly, other than it's a lower body injury, which is where all of his injuries happen, and I hope that it's not actually his groin. But the fact of the matter is I don't blame the Avs at all for throwing Bernier in there and giving Byerly a little extra time through the break that we have and seeing what happens after that. But this is also a great time to look at Bernier and see what he brings to the team. And so far, I'm not disappointed. So, Jost. Yeah, y'all catching Tyson Jost's game lately? He is really starting to show his skill. He's not just seeing the game, he's making passes that are unreal. He made a pass on the power play that was as sauce as it gets, and it was timed perfectly to a man rushing down the ice who was 25 feet behind him. He threw it up in the air, it seemed to stay there for a while, right until the guy got to where he needed to be, landed it, got a shot on goal. It's unreal, folks, it really is, and this guy is not old. Our future is getting good, and the depth is really starting to impress me. But it's not just about the young guys. We have some guys who are having comeback years as well. I mean, Blake Komal hasn't exactly been bad. He has his moments, but he's been pretty good, and he's been very Blake Komal, exactly what we'd expect. But the guy who is impressing me more than that is Carl Soderberg, and guess what he got? Well, one, he got an excellent pass from Kerfoot, but he also got himself a goal, and that's a lot of secondary scoring, which is exactly what we need. Really impressed with the game that Soderberg is playing, and I think that he brings an element to the Avs that we really need. Somebody who doesn't mess around. He sees the puck, he sees the net, and he puts it on net. He doesn't do a lot of dangling, and a lot of times that's really good. But before I get away from this Kerfoot thing, I have to tell you that he is an absolute steal, an absolute deal. Sakic or the team or whoever said get that guy was really smart, because he is as good at seeing the ice as anyone I've ever seen in an Avs jersey. And I'm talking about some big numbers, some guys hanging in the rafters right now. He keeps that head up and he makes passes that are quality passes to find a guy who is sometimes not even open, but he puts it in such a place for them that they have a chance to score. And that's exactly what happened with Carl Soderberg. Momentum officially shifted. So it just wouldn't be a Wild game though if they didn't whine and bitch about a goal, right? So of course they're officially challenged at the fourth goal by Rantz, who used a silky smooth Hey Luke-like backhand to put us up 4-1. 100% legal goal, but we go to the video review, which is typically the worst thing that could happen to the Avs team. I mean, you can almost bank on what's gonna happen, right? We never get the calls, so what do you think happened? Pause. Drama. Holy shit, people. They got the thing right. Now, I am not saying that retiring number 23 is making the world right again and appease the hockey gods, but I am actually saying that. I'm saying that maybe doing the right thing made the universe just a little bit better. I keep hyping on that, but you know what? I'm not going to stop because the number is finally retired. Anyways, the Avs are up 4-1. I'm also not saying that the refs are swayed by calls and the Avs being up by 3 goals and try to balance a game by calling a fluffy penalty, but it was absolutely a fluffy penalty, and guess what happens next? Wild go on the power play and they score a goal. This is exactly the same script as ever, except the Avs are still ahead because we scored early and we're getting secondary scoring. In case you haven't been keeping up, the Wild always win. They always beat us. We play a really good game and at the last second they steal it, but this is the first game I've seen in a long time where it looks like we're actually dominating. Sure, they're scoring a goal here and there, but we're scoring more goals and we're having a lot of chances and we look like we're in control. The period ends with Gabriel Landeskog basically explaining to Dumba that he would absolutely drop him on his ass and kick his ass until he whined and cried like the little bitch that Dubnyk is. And then they took a break. Second period over, Avs up 4-2. So if you've been in this situation enough times, you kind of get a little bit worried about what might happen. Here we are, up 4-2 going into the third period on a really special night where Milan Hayduk is honored. The Avs have every indication of winning this game, but you just never know. You never know what's going to happen. You never know if the Wild are going to make a push, they're going to come back, this thing is going to go to OT, this thing is going to go to a shootout, or even worse, we actually lose the game. So the drama is still real. The fans are feeling it right now in the can, and they're cheering and they're yelling, and I hear a bunch of people like saying really low and slow, douche. I'm pretty sure that's what they're saying. Anyways, I can't imagine as Wild fans there. But here it is, the stage is set. This is the kind of hockey I miss right here. This is the hockey that we used to have. It was exciting, but you could almost always count on the good guys winning. Let's see what happens. Third period. So the Avalanche came out looking like they're ready to actually play some hockey here in the third, and they're ready to stick it to the Wild. I love that. And then, holy hell, Gabriel Bork is playing one hell of a game tonight. I wish he'd do this every night, but he scored a goal, he's been forechecking like a madman, and then he drops a player with a clean hit on the boards to absolutely get the crowd into the game. This is the kind of stuff that I wish he'd bring all the time, but I'll take it for one night. So the hitting continues, though. Z just couldn't stand the idea that Como got dumped in the corner, and he's been playing a really smooth game, really kind of keeping his demons on a leash, but then all of a sudden gets way out of position, goes out of his way to drop a guy at the blue line in the offensive zone, and then he gets back into the play and all is well. I love the physicality I'm seeing from the Avs. If they could do this every game, they would definitely elevate their chances of being a top tier team. Given those turns of events, how do you think it's going to turn out? Well, Zucker already gave us an idea what's going to happen next. He absolutely runs Bernier. You could argue you got a little bit of help from 96, Mikko Rantanen, but that's only in slow motion. If you watch at hockey speed and you played hockey, you know that he wasn't really trying to stop. He was trying to make it look good, and he was trying to run Bernier. Really, Bernier was a nice guy for not whacking him in the head with his goalie stick. How wild of him. And then, so 5 minutes before this happened, I tweeted out that it's about time for Dubnyk to do some of his drama bullshit, right? Just as scripted, he jumps Kerfoot after Kerfoot is pushed into him and just starts grinding his head into the ice. Just grind, 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 blocker, blocker, blocker. Melee ensues, and then the Avs end up on the power play. But a little side note here, somehow AJ Greer managed to get himself ejected from this game. He has got a reputation on him or a vibe about him that just has him constantly almost in fights or getting ejected from games. Regardless, I love the way they stood up for his team, and he's really not a guy that we're going to miss too much out there offensively right now because he's always in the box or ejected from games. We don't really know if he can play yet. Anyways, the Avs are on the power play, and Max scores like 25 seconds into the power play, which makes the entire Pepsi can just freak out, jump up. Everyone is stoked at this point. This is probably the best hockey we've seen in years, and it couldn't come on a better night. Dubnyk gets yanked, the crowd goes wild again, and Bruce Boudreau is still red from the last time he was yelling and screaming. He's got a band-aid on his head, and I'm pretty sure it's going to start gushing blood in here in a second because they are pissed. The Avs are absolutely taking it to the wild, and they are not enjoying it. That's awesome. Okay, pop quiz, heroes. What happens now? The Avs scored, and the Minnesota Wild go on the power play. Of course they do, right? The ref makes another kind of fluffy call, which I think is 100% about just kind of bringing some calm to the game. And the Avs do what they do better than anybody else in the NHL this season, or at least at this moment right now in the season, which is they kill it. Cue the Mario sound. I'm not a superstitious dude, but I'm absolutely doing everything I can right now to not mess with this mojo because it feels like things are going way too good, like something's got to happen that's going wrong, right? Let's hope not. All right, if you haven't caught on, we're actually recording this as the game is going on, and I have to give you one correction. It would appear that AJ Greer is actually still on the ice. Who knew? And let's hope he stays there. So as we get down to the last 5 minutes, though, the game and the outcome is known, but the Wild remain pissed, and Stahl goes and takes a punch at Big Z, who gave him a little thump, and Z promptly lifts him in the air, airborne, and slams him onto the ice like a dead fish waiting to be its sushi fate. It was awesome to see. Z skates off the ice in what is yet another exclamation point on a really awesome hockey night for Colorado Avalanche fan. The future is bright, people, and even better, it's nearly here. The Avs are for real, and this is only going to get better. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. Awesome hockey shirts for awesome hockey people, hoodies, hats, stickers, and contests that you can play in. Check it out at absfam.com. This, my friends, is the sound of a beer cracking in celebration of Milan Hayduk and the Colorado Avalanche destroying the Minnesota Wild. Stay awesome.